You have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. These last few weeks have been in our country and in our community. They've been rough, haven't they? A lot of rough things have happened. It's a rough state of the world. If you've followed the news at all, you've certainly been made aware of Hurricane Helene that has ripped through the southeast and caused catastrophic flooding and damage. And I don't know if you've seen the videos and heard the stories out of Western North Carolina, but man, it is rough. It is ugly there. As of this morning, there were 227 deaths, and that's estimated to rise pretty dramatically over the next couple of weeks. So we've got Hurricane Helene. We've got the obvious election season, and our politics here are ugly and divisive, with one candidate having had two assassination attempts, and both sides really ramping up their rhetoric and character attacks on one another. Iran has launched some 200 missiles into Israel, and the world waits with bated breath to wonder what's going to happen next. Are we on the verge of World War III? The war in Ukraine rages on. The war you probably don't hear about, the war in Myanmar, a civil war that's been happening for decades, rages on. Listen, if you turn the TV on, you're going to get nothing but bad news. If you watch the TV for 10 minutes, you're going to see 20 reasons why you should be anxious and afraid and scared. But believer in Christ, here is my message to you today. Fear not. Here's what I want to remind you of this morning. You serve a God who is in total, 100%, absolute control. And you serve a God who loves you totally, 100% absolute love, with a love that you can't fathom. But that being said, I don't want you to hear me say that. I want you to hear the Word say that. So let me read to you just a couple of passages that talk about God's great love for you. Here's the first one, coming from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, "And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him." Psalm 36, verse 7. "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Romans 5, 8. "But God demonstrates or shows his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? Died for us." And my favorite, John 3:16, you can say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him..." Here's the best news you can hear on a day and in a time where there's nothing but bad news. The best news you can hear on this day, three words: God loves you. Amen. He loves you so much that he has adopted you, and you get to call him Father. If you're a believer in Christ, then hear me, you are a son or a daughter of God Almighty, the one who is in absolute, total control, which means this: this world, with all of its bad news, with all of the fear and anxiety that comes with that, this world is not your home. Fear abounds out there. Fear is everywhere out there. But listen, when fear begins to creep into your heart, into your mind, into your life, all you need to remember is this one simple truth. Are you ready for it? God loves you. You're his child. And this place is not your home. You're a child of God, and therefore a citizen of heaven. Today I want to show you from 1 John chapter 3, very quickly this morning, I want to show you two reasons why we are children of God. Now understand this, you can only become a child of God by faith. We said that in our responsive reading earlier. When you repent of your sin and trust in Christ to forgive you of that sin and place your faith in him, that's when you become a child of God. And when you do that, that can never, ever be taken from you. And here's my hope for today. In about 20 minutes, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper together. We'll distribute the elements, the bread and the juice. And what I hope happens in your life, by the time we get to the Lord's Supper, what I hope happens, what I pray happens, is that you're reminded of the great love of God for you, demonstrated by the great sacrifice of Jesus for you. We want to prepare you for the Lord's Supper to remind you that God loves you. With your Bibles in hand, open to 1 John chapter 3. Let me invite you to stand in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together of 1 John chapter 3. God's Word says this: "See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and we will be, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed so that He might take away sins, and there is no sin in Him. Everyone who remains in Him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen Him or know Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister." Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you so much for your word. And we pray, Lord, that today on this day you would be magnified, glorified, and made big as we look at your word and see two reasons that we have become your children. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Two reasons why we are the children of God. You can be seated, by the way. Number one, we are children of God because of the Father's great love for us. That's exactly what verse 1 says. Anyone here have the King James Version? Raise your hand if you got the King. Okay, tell me. In the King James Version, what's the very first word in verse 1? Behold. I love that word, behold. The CSB translates that as see, or maybe your translation says look. But that word behold, it just seems like it's so much bigger, doesn't it? Here's what behold means. Behold means to give your total, undivided attention to that thing, to reflect upon that thing, to behold it, to reflect upon it deeply. And here's what John says. Look at verse 1 in your Bible. My translation says see, but I'm going to say behold because I do what I want, right? Here's what it says. Behold, see, behold what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. Do you see that at the end of verse 1? Behold it. See it. Give your undivided attention to it. Focus. Focus on what? Focus on the fact that your Father in heaven loves you so much that He brought you into His family. God loves you so much that He adopted you as His child. He made you His. And He loved you not because you were particularly lovable. In fact, the Bible says there's nothing lovable in us. He loved us when we were His enemy. He loved you. Listen to this. He loved you even though you were the reason that Christ came to the earth. He loved you even though you were the reason that Christ took nails in His hands and His feet. He loved you when you were an enemy in order to make you a son or a daughter. And that's what makes His love so great. So when John says, behold, to reflect deeply upon God's love for you with undivided attention, to behold, to see how great it is, he wants you to consider it. How great is God's love for you? You were His enemy. I was His enemy. But now I'm His son. And listen, if you have repented of your sin and trusted in Christ, You too were transferred from being an enemy to being a child. He is now your father because of his great love for you. And listen, because he is our father, because he's our dad, because we are his children, he changes us. Changes everything about you. Changes everything about the things that you do. You begin to do the things that he loves. And you begin to hate the things that he hates. In other words, if you're a child of God, you begin to act more like your father. That's what verses 4 through 6 says. Look in your Bibles. Verses 4 through 6 says this. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins. And there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or know him. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Did you see it? The one who does what he does is righteous, just as he is righteous. In other words, the one who does what is right is only doing what he sees his father doing. God changes you. He changes your want tos. He changes your desires. If you've been adopted by God, then you're going to look more like your father. In fact, that's true in life too. We adopted Mason in 2012. And Mason, let me ask you here real quick. What's your favorite NFL team? Say it louder like you're proud, man. The Chiefs were 4-0. I'm not going to ask him what his favorite college team is because it was a rough day for us yesterday. As really rough. Alabama. I'm a Bama fan. And we lost to Vanderbilt. Mason, make a note of that Michael clapped at that. Mason, by the way, y'all know my favorite NFL team is the Chiefs. Mason, what's your favorite kind of music? '90s? Carla, what's your favorite kind of music? '90s. So if we got some Backstreet Boys going on in our house and the Chiefs on TV, everybody's happy. Here's the point. Mason, by the way, he even looks like me a little bit, doesn't he? Little Ben Affleck over there. He's a good-looking kid, I think. Here's the point. When you are adopted by your Father in heaven, you begin to like the things he likes. And you begin to do the things he does. And you begin to look like him. Not physically, but your actions are those of God. You begin to serve him. And it's not fake. It's because he has changed you. Because he's adopted you. Because he's made you new. You start to live out your faith. And you look more like your Father in heaven. That process is called sanctification. Looking more like God and less like the world. And that happens because God so loved you. Behold, the great love of the Father. We are his children because of his great love. Secondly, we are children of God because of the Son's great sacrifice for us. Look at verse 7 again. The Bible says this, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who is right does what is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose. What does your Bible say there? To destroy what? To destroy the devil's works. Now you look at that and you pause for a minute and you say, Wait a minute. Does that say that Jesus destroys the devil's work? And didn't we just begin the sermon by talking about all of the death and disease and destruction around the world? Things like hurricanes and wars, supply chain fears, people dying, countries divided, morality in the tank. Death and disease and destruction are everywhere, and we have the audacity to say that Jesus destroyed the devil's works? Sure enough, we do. He didn't destroy the devil's works in the sense that the devil is gone. He's clearly at work. But the work of the devil has been destroyed in the sense that it no longer has any power over you.
Like, what can he possibly do to you? If you're a believer in Christ, what can he possibly do to you, child of God? Paul said it like this: to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ won the victory. That's kind of the running theme through 1 John. The victory's been won. The battles continue, but the war is over. We just sang about this. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. It's the cross of Christ that paid the penalty of our sins. Jesus himself, when he died and poured out his blood, when his body was battered, and then he was buried, then he rose again, defeating death, defeating hell for us. And listen, when you put your faith and your trust and your hope in Christ, when you do that, you stand forgiven at the cross. And there ain't nothing Satan can do about it. He can't do a thing about it. God's got you, amen, believer. God's got you. It may seem like the world around you is falling apart, and maybe it is. But remember, this world is not our home. The Son of God, Jesus himself, destroyed the devil's works. He crushed Satan's head when he resurrected from the grave. And if you've repented of your sins and trusted in him, then this world, listen to me closely, if you have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, this world filled with death, disease, destruction, if you are a believer in Christ, this world is as close to hell as you'll ever be. As bad and as painful as it is, if you're a believer in Christ, this is as bad as it gets. But if you don't know Jesus, then this world, as bad as it is as close to heaven as you'll ever be. It's as good as it gets. If you don't know Jesus, this world filled with death and disease and destruction, it's as close as you'll be to heaven. So I beg you this morning to choose wisely. The only way to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Amen. The only way to heaven, the only way to be saved, is to repent of your sin and trust in the finished work of Christ. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. We are God's children because of the Father's great love for us. We are God's children because of the Son's great sacrifice for us, but it's not automatic. You have to repent and you have to believe. And when you do that, you will be saved. Listen, here's the end. Here's the conclusion. We live in a scary world, and you can do one of two things. You can be fearful and fretful, or you can be calm and confident. When you turn the TV on and you watch the news, you can be fearful and fretful, or calm and confident. If you want to be fearful and fretful, then I would say keep looking at all those reasons you should be afraid. There are many. There will always be many. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and pestilence. There will always be reasons to be afraid. But if you want to be calm and confident and comforted, then I want to challenge you this morning to remember your because. What does that mean? Listen, you are a child of God. Everybody say it with me. Because. You're a child of God of the Father's great love for you. Remember that. Behold his great love. You are a child of God. Let's try it one more time. You're a child of God of the Son's great sacrifice for you. So when the world looks scary and you get fearful, remember your because. Jesus, God in the flesh, perfection, was nailed to a cross, was treated like a vile criminal and the worst of sinners, and he did that for you. Jesus, God eternal, was buried in a tomb for you. And hear this, Jesus, our great God, our great Jesus, walked out of that tomb for you. Yes. And if you don't know Jesus, then you have every reason to be afraid. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to show you. It bears repeating here, if you don't know Jesus, this world is as close to heaven as you'll be. But if you do know Jesus, well, this world is as close to hell as you'll be. Heaven awaits for the believer. So I beg of you, if you don't know Jesus, repent and believe and remember your because. You're a child of God because he loves you, and you're a child of God because he sacrificed for you.